so nice to see you all. Thanks for making it out. It's kind of busy, frenetic day. It's slightly cooler in here. I love Regatta Week. Henley residents are kind of firmly in two camps when it comes to Regatta Week. There are the lovers and there are the tolerators, and I'm firmly in the lover camp. I love the international flavour of the regatta. It's just such a privilege to have people from across the world descend on our little town for a week. I love the competitiveness, the kind of seriously good athletes giving it their absolute best. I know for many of the athletes, it's the kind of one of the kind of high points on the kind of calendar, and that's a privilege to be able to watch and experience and enjoy. I love how colourful it is, and how many multicoloured blazers in one town at one place. It must be setting some kind of record. Now, I don't know how you're feeling as you come here tonight. Hot, probably. Maybe you're in a good place, maybe you're not in a great place. Whatever you come with, this is just an opportunity to be still for 30 minutes or so in this beautiful space, in this quiet space. It's a lovely thing for us to be able to do at the end of the day. And we're going to start by hearing some words from the Bible. This is from one of the Psalms, which is the songbook of the Bible. It's Psalm 46. There are some words which I'm going to say, and then there are some words in bold which I invite you to say with me. But before we say anything, let's just have a moment of quiet, just 30 seconds or so, to collect ourselves and be still. God is our refuge and our strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's a lovely verse in the Bible from the book of Philippians. It's up on the screen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a tough ask, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything. But it comes with a solution as well. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. And isn't it interesting how it talks about with thanksgiving as well? You know, I've found in all my years that there's no greater antidote to anxiety than thankfulness. And so we're just going to begin our time today with a time of thankfulness. I'm just going to encourage us to reflect on things that we can be thankful for. And perhaps just in the quietness of your own hearts, just express that thankfulness to God for those things. So let's just begin by recalling our families, those who love us, those who've nurtured and cared for us. Let's bring them to mind and give thanks quietly in our hearts for them. Give me some words to respond. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Now invite us just to bring to mind the opportunities that we have been given in life. And maybe these are lucky breaks, people we just happen to bump into at the right time, in the right way, chances that we had and were given. In the names of quiet, just to give thanks for each of those. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Those who've been down at the rowing today, or involved in rowing, chance now just to bring to mind those who have helped us in that, coaches and supporters, people in your life without whom you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And finally, a chance to reflect on and give thanks for your health, your fitness, your body, the body that God gave you. He didn't have to, but he did, and now you can enjoy it. And all the blessings that that brings. Even where we have broken bodies, still there is so much that we can give thanks for. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And so we do give you thanks, our Heavenly Father, for the many blessings that we receive from your hand. We confess we're often unappreciative to you for those things, but we are deeply thankful. Amen. I'm going to invite Wiz to come up now. And we've got a bit of a focus for each of our sessions through the week. And today we've got to focus on finding peace. And Wiz is the most peaceful person I've ever met, so I thought it'd be good to chat with her today. Wiz, why don't you start by telling us a bit about your own journey with sport?
I think my love of sport started in my back garden with my two brothers. We absolutely love football. We come in from school and go straight outside and play football. My parents brought us up as avid Liverpool fans. I think I've got about 20 kits every Christmas for 20 years in my cupboard. They just moved out of the house and now they've been passed on to me. So I used to assign myself as Michael Owen most evenings, go out in the garden.
That also dates you, by the way.
That also dates me, yes. We'll move on quickly. We shove my little brother in goal, as all little siblings should be in goal, know their place. So that's kind of where my love of sport began. And then fast forward a few years and I signed for Watford for under 10s and was there with them for a few years and then moved to Arsenal for a few years. So that was kind of my football career, and whilst that was kind of happening, they didn't do football again, age me, they didn't do football at secondary school when I turned up, they just had hockey. It was equivalent, they said, try that, and I was like, okay.
So you played for Arsenal under 11s?
No, under 16s.
Under 16s?
Under 16s, yeah.
Happy experience at Arsenal?
It was tough. It was exciting because we were at the end, we were at Emirates for the first training session we signed on. So it was pretty exciting, as like a little kid, even though I supported Liverpool, so I was a bit like, ooh. It was exciting and it was really kind of professionally run and like with real quality players. So in terms of kind of the kids' room, it was pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of football, but then alongside that, I started to play hockey. Started to really enjoy that, and again, fast forward, got to 15 and then spent 6 years playing for England, so from under 16 to 21.
Okay.
And then was able to go off to Loughborough University on a sports scholarship, so I was able to kind of train full time alongside studying.
That's so amazing. So the hockey, playing hockey for England. What do they call it? Juniors or
juniors,
kind of junior squad? I mean, what's the commitment there? You're training, what, 3-4 times a week? You're heading off to competition. School holidays have been obliterated for 3 years of your life.
Yeah. You're kind of, during school weeks, you were expected to kind of do the training, so you'd get a fitness program. So you'd be pretty much training every single day, but by yourself, whilst playing for your club. And then in the holidays, like half-term summer, holidays, Easter holidays, Christmas, you'd be on camp. So up at Bisham or Manchester, they had the centre in Manchester. So we used to go to drive, my parents used to drive me up to Manchester for them.
Wow.
Now I'm a parent, now I'm like, I can't believe they did that.
But also, as a young sports person, you totally rely on your parents, right?
Totally.
Because if they're not up with ferrying you around, then it's game over for your sporting ambitions.
It's wonderful because now I reflect, now I can, as a parent, I look back and I think, they love sport, but they weren't elite sports people themselves.
Yeah.
There was no kind of pushiness with it, but they were just excited for me and like totally supportive. That was wonderful. So yeah, off to Loughborough, then graduated from there and then signed for Reading Hockey Club to Stanley and spent 10 years with them, playing in the Premiership and the European League. And then I had children.
Children ruin everything. That's not true. The Bible says they're a blessing from the Lord. They're just kind of a blessing.
They are. And it's lovely now, having gone from like finding the love of sport in my back garden, to now be able to the privilege of watching my children really like loving gymnastics and football and all that. So it's been a lovely kind of rounded journey for me.
Now, you've previously been very involved with and be working for an organisation called Christians Sports. Tell us a little bit more about, or CIS, tell us a little bit more about CIS.
Yeah, so they're an organisation that loves sport, but also loves Jesus, and their mission is to reach the world to sport for Jesus. So they give sports people all around the world an opportunity to explore Christianity for themselves, and then to work alongside Christians to help them think through, right, you're a Christian and you love sport, how do you put those two together to actually play as a Christian and think as a Christian? In that world of sport, and that's through sports camps and Bible studies, and particularly with elite athletes, they go out to them. So they go out on the PGA golf tours and the Grand Slams and the Diamond Leagues, and they get the Christians together and they do Bible studies. So it's similar to kind of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, sure. And I guess the thing is, it depends on the sport, but presumably for lots of these kind of elite sports people, it can be harder to be like regularly involved in a church and that kind of stuff, right? Because you're often in competitions or I know some of our rowers here, they kind of, for the summer months, it's like, your attendance is pretty patchy. Yeah. And so actually CIS did a great job at kind of saying, that's the reality. Mm-hmm. How can we provide sports people spiritual support and encouragement in that kind of context?
Absolutely. Within the context of them completely supporting the local church.
Yeah.
And saying, actually, that is the place that you're going to grow in the family of Christ. So.
Yeah.
But helping them, the church, to understand that challenge and helping the church to understand how they can support the people, church families.
Now, in your experience, I guess both as a sports person himself, but also as someone who's worked very closely with sports people at a whole range of levels, what are some of the distinctive pressures that sports people face?
I think the higher you go up in sport, the more the pressures are exaggerated because there's more at stake. There's like bigger consequences if you don't perform well or if you get an injury. If you're playing kind of amateur sport, you might lose or get a bad result and you'll go home and be really grumpy or frustrated, but your life continues as normal. Whereas actually in elite sport, if you have a bad run of performances or you get injured, actually that's your funding on the line. That's you maybe not being able to pay the mortgage, your livelihood. Your day-to-day changes because all the people that you've hung out with, all your teammates, you suddenly can't be with them every day because you're not in the squad anymore. So there's loads of what if and unknown. So the pressures, the consequences are big and therefore the pressure is big. And I think if you scratch the surface a little bit more, there's also this real internal pressure to consistently prove yourself because in elite sport, kind of your worth and your value is locked up in your performance. And therefore there's this constant pressure inside yourself to prove yourself to all those around you and for yourself to prove your worth.
It becomes like it's quite a what's the phrase? Like totalizing. I mean, it's right, it's your friends, it's your like your all of your time, it's your career, it's your income. Maybe also it's like your sense of like personhood and self and who I am. And as you say, all of that is like one injury later, and all of that can kind of, you know, come crashing down. Like, and as you say, the pressure must be quite intense.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's such helpful thoughts and your own kind of personal experiences of some of those things.
Yeah, I think I spent, it's been helpful doing the preparing for this interview and thinking about this, and I think my kind of identity forming years, so that kind of that 15 to 20 year old when you're kind of working out who you are, was spent a lot of time away from home with a bit with like a group of teenage girls in an environment which was a culture of which really reinforced your performance or was linked to your value as a human being.
Sure.
So I really strongly remember times when I performed really well. Everyone would chat to you. You're like the bee's knees. The coaches would do joke, like joke around with you, include you in conversations. And the next week you have a bad performance and you just get the cold shoulder.
Wow.
Like that was the, I mean, I might be, today when you look back over the years, it's probably more complicated than that. But
Sure.
that's very much how I remember it. And I think that really, for a lot of people who grow up in elite sport in those kind of foundational years, it can really instill in you this kind of performance-driven identity.
How has your faith helped you or kind of others you've worked with find peace in the midst of those pressures?
I think what really robs me and I think others of peace is when we linger and really focus on the kind of what ifs and the unknown. So in sports, will I compete for my best today? Will I win? Will my funding still be there tomorrow? What does my coach think of me? What will people be saying about me on social media? What do my teammates think of me? There's so many unknowns, and if you kind of linger in that place, you then compete from a place of feeling unsafe and feeling insecure, and I think that can put you into this spiral of anxiety. But as a Christian, I feel like what has given me a real sense of peace in the midst of those challenges is focusing on what I do know, to be sure. And for a Christian, I can go to the Bible and I can really look at truths that God says about me. And because I know He's made me, therefore it's His opinion of me. And the Bible says loads of stuff about us, but two things that I found particularly helpful as I've kind of gone through these pressures is, whereas the world of sport kind of defines me by my performance, so my value is dependent on my last performance, actually, God says, no, you completely matter. You are completely unconditionally loved by me. So if somebody turns up this week and they came to qualifiers and didn't qualify, or they come all the way through and win on Sunday, actually God looks at that, both those people and loves them in equal measures. So that is a known thing I can think about and meditate on rather than all the what ifs. And the second thing is the Bible says that God is for us and He has the perfect plan for each one of us. So it says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. So that doesn't mean I'm going to perform excellently. It doesn't mean my funding won't be dropped. But he means like through the good stuff and the bad stuff, I know and I can trust that he's for me and that he needs all the good stuff and the bad stuff for his good and for my good. So I think I can get peace and I can perform from a place of safety and security, thinking about the things that I know to be true because God said them. And God's my maker, and therefore I believe what he says about me.
So helpful. And just finally, Wiz, I guess some of us are sports people, some of us aren't. All of us face pressures and temptations to be deeply anxious about things. Any words of encouragement for any here kind of struggling to find peace?
Yeah, I'd say that you matter. Your worth isn't linked to anything you're going to do this week.
Yeah.
The Bible says you're a precious child of God.
Yeah.
When you get up and go to sleep, God loves you immensely. And the second thing I would say that God knows us so well, so he knows we're going to worry. And he doesn't just say, stop worrying. He says, bring your worries to me. So I would say if there's things that you're fearing or feeling anxious about, like present them to the Lord. And he promises to give us peace. He never breaks his promises. So we know we can go to him through prayer and he will give us peace.
Wiz, thank you. That's been so helpful. Should we give Wiz a little round of applause? Do you take a seat? I don't know how. I'm sure so much of that resonated with lots of us. I think also most of us just love the idea of kind of being in control. It was another Henley, William Ernest Henley, the Victorian poet, who wrote famous in his poem Invictus, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. And that's something it's lovely to believe, but then life happens. And I remember in my early 20s going for the first major job that I really, really wanted. And I thought I was absolutely in line to get it. And I still remember the phone call when they said, actually, we've given someone else a job. And it was crushing. The sense that I was in control, and then suddenly you realize we're not. Or just a couple of years ago, I had a random illness. I was kind of taken off to hospital, and I was there for a couple of weeks. It knocked me out for months. And again, you think, I'm in control, and then life happens. And you realize there are so many things that we're not in control of. Sports people, that dreaded word, injury. And it can just come out of nowhere. And there's nothing you can do about it. Or selection. Does someone just perform slightly better on the day? And that's it. You're not in the base. You're not in the crew. You've been dropped. And it's tough, isn't it? Anxiety is so easily our kind of knee-jerk response to situations in life where we kind of feel out of control. And often we try to anxiously assert control, try and kind of get on top of things and so on. How can we find peace in such an unpredictable world? How can we find peace when our lives are so unpredictable? Well, there's a perfect illustration of this very human experience in the life of Jesus. And I just invite you to turn with me to page 31 on these little accounts of Luke's gospel. This is an account of Jesus' life. And just spot the very, very human dynamic of being out of control in this account. This is on page 31, and it's just under the little heading that says, Jesus calms the storm. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall or storm came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. So these disciples, they're fishermen, right? They're used to being in boats. They're used to being on the lake. They're used to being in control of that environment until this day comes, and suddenly they're not in control. And they're so out of control that they are literally fearing for their lives, terror. And that is the very human response, isn't it? When you are confronted with a situation that you realize you have no control over, perhaps you have had that experience of a kind of pit in your stomach. Terror, maybe it's a diagnosis, maybe it's something to do with your job or your career or your sports. Terror. But that's when Jesus steps in this account. He does what no one else can. Okay, he literally controls the storm with a word. And they ask the obvious question, at least I think it's the obvious question, who is this man? I mean, if you were scared of the storm, don't you think you'd be even more scared of the person who just stilled it with a word? It's this extraordinary control, authority, power. And they ask this question, who is this man? Not least, because actually this isn't a one-off for Jesus. As you read through the accounts of his life, he has consistently been bringing chaos back into order, whether it's illness or people who are kind of disordered in various ways, bringing chaos back into order. And his life ends actually with the ultimate demonstration of this. As he dies on the cross, it looks brutal, it looks like the end. He said he was doing it to pay for our wrongdoing, our sin. But then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. It's like the ultimate thing that we are not in control of. You know, we might pretend that we're in control of many things in life, but none of us can pretend that we're in control of death. And yet Jesus is. He defeats death. He rises again. If you like, it's the ultimate storm that is stilled by him. And the Bible says he did it for us. It's like, if you trust in me, I can take you safely through that ultimate storm as well. No wonder they ask, who is this? Right, what he does in the boat that day is just a small picture of what he would do ultimately when he defeated death itself. Right, who is this? The short answer, God. God has stepped into our chaos to bring order and hope. And he invites us to trust him. That's why Jesus says in this story, where is your faith? He's not rebuking them, he's inviting them. He's saying, look, if I'm in the boat with you, you can trust me. You may not be in control, but I am. So trust me. If Jesus is in your boat, you don't have to be in control, because he is. You can find peace when you learn to trust him. If he really has calmed the biggest storm of all, don't you think we can trust him in the midst of the smaller storms that we encounter in life as well? Finding peace. Something we all long for. It's something Jesus holds out the genuine possibility of. I'm sure it raises all kinds of questions. Do take this home with you. It's a little account of Luke's gospel. You can read it and discover more of this wonderful person, Jesus, yourself. But we're going to draw our time to a close now with a final time of prayer. Back to that verse from Philippians again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So let's pray. I'm going to have a song to reflect before we finish. Perhaps just again, in a moment of quiet, let's bring to God the things that we're worried about, things we're anxious about, the people we care about, who we're worried for, situations in our own lives that we feel out of control of. maybe just experience the peace of saying, over to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so, Father, we thank you so much for this time, time to be quiet. Thank you that you love us, that you're with us, that you're for us, and that in Jesus you have come to redeem us and walk through life with us. Thank you that you give us purpose and hope and peace. And we pray that we would know these things ever increasingly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And I invite us to join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to close our time with a chance to reflect. Andy, very kindly, is here to sing and to play to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Such lovely words. If you are around over the rest of the week, then we would love to invite you to the last couple of sessions we've got. Thursday, we've got a break tomorrow. Buildings being used for our connected school have got a production of Matilda, which I'm sure they would also say you're welcome to, but it'd be a slightly different vibe. And then Thursday and Friday, we have our two last sessions, Living with Purpose and Lasting Change. And do encourage others to join us if you think that they might appreciate this this space as well. Going to finish with a final prayer, and I invite us just to join with an amen at the end. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Don't rush off. You're welcome to stick around. You can bear a hot drink. We can offer tea and coffee. Otherwise, another glass of water is also available. Thank you for coming.